Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here. We're in the fourth week of a message series entitled My Story. And we've been talking about the fact that one day we're going to look back and the decisions that we're making today will tell the story. They'll reflect the story of our lives. They'll tell the story about the season that you're in right now. Right now, we look back 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and when we look back into our past, we're like, man, the story of that season is this. There's going to be a story about this season. And guys, there's reverb on this system, if you could make sure that that comes out of there. There's going to be a story about this season, and in that story that you're going to tell in a few years, it will be based off many times off the decisions that you're making today. It might be a story that you're proud to tell. It might be a story that you're maybe not so proud to tell. But regardless of that, it is going to be a story that you're going to tell. When we started this series, and I'm going to move along quickly today, but when we started this series, we were challenging you to make four decisions, because if decisions decide what our future is going to look like, then let's make some good decisions. Though on the very first week, we decided that we were going to pick up a new discipline. Some of you have picked up a new discipline. Some of you are just still contemplating what that discipline is going to be. We're going to challenge you, if you want your life to change, pick up a good new discipline. The second one, I decided that I was going to stop. There were some things in my life I needed to stop doing, maybe one particular thing. Each week we've been challenging you to do one thing. Just choose one thing that you would stop doing that interrupts the future that God has for you. Here's the third one. Are you ready? Last week we talked about I decided to stay. I decided to stay when it would be easier to go. I decided to stay in a relationship. I decided to stay on a job. I decided to stay in an environment when it would be easier to go. And today, we're going to talk about I decided to go when it would be easier to stay. I made the decision that it is time to go when it would be easier to stay. There's going to be a point in your life when there's going to be something that you're supposed to do, and you're not going to be able to stay in the place where you are, whether that's emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever that would be, professionally, financially. There's something, a place where you're supposed to go. And if you want your story to be the story that God wants to tell in your life, and ultimately, our story is best, not when the story is about us, but when it's God's story, and we allow God's story to be told through us, when His story is told through us, then our story is the greatest story. So our idea has been, let God help write that story. How we're doing that, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I want everybody to read this verse with me. If you would, everybody read Hebrews 12, verse number 2 with me. Here's what it says. Are you ready? They're going to put that up there in just a second. It's Hebrews 12, Jackie does it also. You don't have a Hebrews 12 and 2? There's one in your Bible. I promise you there's one in the Bible. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It's in your bulletin. Everybody say it out loud with me. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Ultimately, it's about fixing our eyes on Him, because what you focus on, what you fix yourself on, is the direction that you're going to go in. Listen, if you fix yourself on something about anger, you will move in the direction of anger. If you fix yourself on finances, you will move in the direction of finances. If you fix yourself in the direction of, if you focus on depression and depressing things, you will end up in a depression. Whatever you focus on is where you're going to go. So ultimately, if we want our story to be the best story, then fix our eyes on Jesus. Because He knows how to lead us. He's the author and He is the finisher. He's the perfecter. Today I'm going to tell you a story, and we're going to read, if you would, out of Genesis, the 12th chapter. And Genesis, do we have Genesis, the 12th chapter? Yes. Jackie's awesome. Honestly, like, she doesn't get rattled. She always smiles and it's awesome. Here we go. It's Genesis, the 12th chapter. It's the story about a man by the name of Abram. Eventually we come to know his name as Abraham. But the Lord calls him while he is still in idolatry. He's actually in Ur of Chaldees, and he's worshiping Nanar, the moon god. Now, think about this. Like, God calls him while he's still a pagan. Like, there's not been a conversion, but God shows up and all of a sudden, God has a promise in his life. There's nothing that will lead you more than knowing that God has a promise in your life. And God begins to speak to him. And here's what he says in Genesis, the 12th chapter. The Lord says to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household. I'm going to take you someplace where you currently aren't. I'm going to take you to a new place. And you're going to have to leave where you are in order to get to that place. In order for you to step into your destiny, you're going to have to leave the position where you currently are. You're going to have to leave your home. You're going to have to leave mom and dad. You're going to have to leave that comfortable spot. You're going to have to leave your family. You're going to have to leave traditions. You're going to have to leave the comfort of all of those things. Several years ago, I was working at a church in Pennsylvania. Most of you are pretty familiar with this story. And very honestly, for 5 months, I wrestled because there was a church that it had invited me to come on staff in Orlando, Florida, right here at this location. And I actually turned the job down for 5 months. I turned it down five different times. And finally, it was like the Lord just didn't, he constrained me. There was nothing else that I could do except say yes to what God had in order for me to get to the next level. And you know what I wanted? Honestly, I wanted what God had for me next where I was. I wanted God to bless me this way where I was. And God was saying, like, the thing that I have for you, it's somewhere else. You're going to have to go somewhere else. It's not the only time that it's ever happened in my life. 19 years ago, I was working on staff. And while I was working on staff, like, everybody could sense, like, the Lord, he was distressing and disturbing things and changing things. And I wasn't sure if he'd be here today, but I'm going to tell a story about David Scruggs. David, I talked to David on the telephone one day. And I was saying, like, I'm not exactly sure. I had a job opportunity up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And David said to me, he said, Paul, I used to work for Great Western Meats right down here on Cayley. And he said, there was just got to the place where I had outgrown the organization. I knew that I had to go and do something new. And I started my own CPA company. And he said, I knew it was the time to do it. And he said, at this point, like, you're at that place in the job that you're in right now. There's going to have to be a place where you're going to have to step beyond that and step into what God has for you. And he'll never know how much that it encouraged me to do exactly that. I mean, because honestly, I was like, if David's hearing from the Lord, then man, I got to go. You know, okay, thank you for laughing. That was good. Here we go. But honestly, it was an encouragement to me today. But honestly, I would have never reached what I'm supposed to reach in my life if I would have stayed in the position where I was, if I would have stayed where I was. And so many times God's going to call us to go somewhere. He's not going to show us everything that we're going to have to do. He's not even going to show us the good or the bad many times. He's going to give us a promise. I'm going to lead you somewhere. But often he doesn't show us what's going to happen specifically because we can't handle it. Most of us would say no. Honestly, most of us would say no if we knew that, like, there was going to be difficult days. Most of us would say no if we knew some of the things that are around the corner between here and achieving that promise. But God says, just get up and go. Take a step of faith. Verse number 2, if you'll read on with me in Genesis, the 12th chapter. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. You will bless those that bless you, and I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. There's a place where God wants to bless us. There's a place of blessing that he has for your life and for my life. And many times what we want God to do is we want us to bless us in our current situation. There are some times when he wants us to move and go to a new thing. We want our world to change and our lives to change just simply because God's going to fulfill his promises. And let me just tell this to you today. Most of the times we are not transformed. We're not changed by God making promises to us. Our lives are changed and our lives are transformed when we believe and act on the promises God has for us. It's not just God making promises to us that causes us to change. It's us acting and believing on those promises that God has for us. And so here's what it says in verse number 4. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Everybody say with me, as the Lord had told him. Say it with me if you would. As the Lord had told him. Just one more time. It's the word of God. So say it with me. As the Lord had told him. It was the Lord directing his steps. It was the Lord leading and guiding him. The Bible says our steps are ordered of the Lord. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. God has a direction for our lives. I don't know if you've seen recently, and I believe that the Lord leads us specifically, and he will lead us and show us. If we're patient and if we'll listen, if we'll tune to him, focus on him, he'll show us. I don't know if you've seen recently the commercial on television for AT&T. There's a commercial on television where a young lady walks into the store and she speaks to the sales representative. She says, "I'm here to buy a new iPhone." And the woman says, "Well, that's awesome." And she says, "What made you come in to buy an iPhone?" And the girl says, "My horoscope told me to come in and buy an iPhone." And in the conversation, the sales rep said to her, "Your horoscope said, come in and buy an iPhone today?" And she said, when this is the exact quote, she said, "Yes, it said, this day will be fairly eventful. This day will be." And so for her, she read into that, "I'm supposed to go buy an iPhone." Now, many times, and just listen, many times in our lives, we take things that are not confirmations from God. We take things that are not the Lord directing us and we read into them something we want. We read into them something that we think that we're supposed to do. I have to tell you, there's a word, honestly, there's a word in the church world that if you're new in church, let me just give this word to you. And it's one of the best words and it's one of the most abused words in the church world. And that is the word confirmation. We use it all the time. Like we're waiting for confirmation. We're waiting for the Lord to speak to us and confirm what he wants us to do. And many times what takes place in our lives, we're just like the girl at the AT&T store. And this is what I've seen take place many times in people's lives who are believers. They're like, I was driving down the road and I was praying in the morning because I feel like I'm supposed to do something. I'm supposed to move. I'm tired of the job. I'm and where I am. My neighborhood's not that good. And the church I'm going to isn't that good. And I've just been praying like I need to move. And I was driving down the road. And while I was driving down the road, I ran a red light. And when I ran a red light, I ran into a moving truck. And it was like the Lord was saying, even if I have to get you to run into a moving truck, I'm going to show you you have to move. Now, just let me just tell you. And if you think that's a stretch for what people call a confirmation, there are so many people like, the other day I was driving down the road and there was a box on the side of the road. And I was like, that's a moving box. I'm supposed to move. Now, seriously, guys, let me just tell you, if God wants to speak to you, he's going to speak to you clearly. You don't have to read something into the horoscope. And by the way, let me just talk to you. If you are reading this horoscopes to begin with, will you please go back to week number 2 and listen to the message on things that I should stop? I mean, like the Bible is really clear about that kind of stuff. But many times we as Christians, we do things that are foolish. And I'm just going to say this. I'll just go ahead and put it out there. We do things and say things that are foolish, and they completely discredit the real working and the real voice of the Holy Spirit. And we can't figure out why the world doesn't pay attention to us. It's because, honestly, like we're saying that the box on the side of the road and running into a moving truck because we missed a red light, we think that we're telling the world that that's the Holy Spirit, and it makes us laughable to them. God can and will speak to us if we'll listen to him. Most of the time when I talk about this subject, and just bear with me, most of the time when I talk about this kind of a subject, when I begin to talk about change or when I talk about going and allowing the Lord to lead you, most of the time people read into it that it's about leaving a church, and often it is. Sometimes it's about leaving a job. Maybe it's about leaving a vicinity or some friendships. It could be about leaving any of those things. But let me take a few moments, and it's not the totality of it, but I want to talk to you for a few moments about leaving. And this is a conversation that I don't think I've ever heard in church before, and I didn't get this from anywhere else. This is just after being in church work for 800 years, and I've been in church work that long. I'm going to give you some good advice. It applies to church. It applies to life. This is going to apply to a job. It's going to apply to various areas of your life. And I'm going to talk to you for a few moments of how to go. How to go. When it's time to go, how to go. Are you ready? Here's the number one. And I gave you a bunch of lists if you'll write these in. Number one, how to go, get good advice. Get good advice. Speak to those that are over you in the Lord. Speak to people who are knowledgeable. Speak to people that maybe if you're in an industry, talk to people in the industry that maybe you're leaving or going to. Talk to the people that are in your industry, and maybe you're up against a wall and you need to talk to somebody because they have a better notion about how you could go about doing business. Get good advice before you go. Speak to your parents. Talk to your spouse. Hey, talk to your kids. Talk to the people around you. But ultimately, let me just tell you, don't talk to your disgruntled buddies. Don't talk to, if you're thinking about leaving your spouse, don't talk to your friends who went through a divorce 6 months ago. Amen. Talk to people who have wisdom around you. Get some good advice. Number two, are you ready? I'm going to move down through these quickly, because any one of these could be a whole sermon. Are you ready? Number two, examine your motives. Examine your motives. Very often, the reason we say we are going isn't the real reason we're going. Very often, we have an offense. We're walking in an insecurity. Very often, we're just bored. Many times there's something else that's taking place underneath it, and we create reasons for us to go. Find out what is the real reason. Ask yourself, examine, spend some quiet time with the Word of God, and ask yourself the question, is this the real reason? I've seen people who have left, who have done things, who have moved their lives, who have upended a bunch of stuff because they had some notion, some hope, and the truth is it ended up being a bad move for them simply because they were doing it out of the wrong motives. Motive counts with God. Number three, are you ready? Here's some good advice. How to go. Don't leave in anger. Don't leave in anger. In fact, I have a rule about life decisions. Don't make a decision when you're angry. Don't make a decision when you're sick. Don't make a decision when you're tired. Don't make a decision when you're emotional. Because most of the time when you make a decision in that kind of an environment, you're going to make a bad decision. Don't make a decision in anger. Many times what happens, I've seen it happen way too many times in life. You don't like what's going on job. You don't like the people that you're around. You get in an argument with somebody. You get in an argument with your spouse or with the neighbor. And like, I'm out of here. And you storm out. And the truth is there is nothing in the Bible where God ever leads people through anger. Like, you can't find a place where, like, God led people to the next thing while they were just angry. Generally, it ends up in a bad spot when you leave in anger. Number four, don't leave over boredom. Don't leave over boredom. I have a good friend of mine, and very honestly, every about 5 or 7 years, she's really creative. About every 5 or 7 years, She upends everything in her life. And I'm not just talking like she moves from one part of town to the other, or she moves from one neighborhood to the other, or she rearranges the furniture in her house. I'm talking about like she upends everything and moves, quits good jobs and goes and finds another job that maybe not as good as the last one she had. They lose money when they move. They lose money when they have to put out deposits. They lose money every time that they do it. But yet, and here's the deal is she just gets bored with where she is. Now, let me just tell you guys, I'm a creative person. You all know me. So just bear with me. I'm a creative person. Most of the time, people who are creative, they get bored easily. But true creative people, they don't go looking for something else creative. You know what they really do? They stay where they are and they dig down inside and they go, I'm going to find something new and creative here and do something new and creative here. So don't leave over boredom. Here we go. Are you ready? Here's number five. Leave graciously. Leave graciously. Don't leave in a huff. Don't just like walk out. Give notice. Be nice to the people that are around you. Give proper notice. Don't poison the water when you leave. I'm going to tell you guys, this is some of the best preaching you're going to hear in a long time. Don't poison the water when you leave. Like when you leave, I don't care if they treated you badly. You don't have to walk out of the place and go, man, I hope they fail and I'm rotten people and they're evil and I hope all the evil. You know what the Bible says we're supposed to do to people who mistreat us? Love them. Pray for them. Bless them. Let's not bring the Bible into this kind of stuff because you understand, like we only want the Bible in certain portions of our life and we don't want the Bible in other portions of our life. But when you leave, if you don't leave graciously, you spoil and soil the name of Christ. The last thing in all the world we need, wouldn't it be awesome if in Christianity, that we were the kind of employees, that we were the kind of neighbors, the kind of people and organizations that the world would look at and say, I want them in my organization. Like I called about their reputation. I called their references. And honestly, like everybody loves them, said they were an asset and we should be happy to be able to have them in our organization. Leave graciously. Here's what it says. I'll go ahead and read this one. I'll talk about church for a second. Leave graciously, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let us do this with joy and not with sighing, for that would be harmful to you. This is not a high preached message, scripture in the Bible. But you know what it actually says? It says, do your work well even at church. Because the people who are in leadership, we have to give an account for you. See, we're shepherds. And one day, and this is what I understand the scripture tells me, that one day I'm going to stand before God and God's going to say to me, say, hey, how about that Jackie girl? You know, what's your testimony concerning Jackie? And I'm going to give an account to God concerning Jackie. And I love this passage because it says, do this with joy and not with sighing, because that will not go well for you. So when you leave, leave graciously. Here's number six. Are you ready? If possible, have an exit interview. If possible, have an exit interview. And this works on jobs. It works in just about, it works in friendships. It works in relationships. Man, honestly, when I see the way people treat each other, heard recently of somebody who asked for a divorce through a text. Really? Seriously? Okay, like maybe you feel like you should go, but the truth is, you know, there's got to be a better way to do that. There's a better way to leave a job. There's a better way to leave a church. Have an exit interview. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, if you feel like you're leaving, go talk to your boss. Go talk to your boss and give them sufficient notice. I'm leaving. If there's grievances, maybe those grievances can be worked out. If you're leaving a church, and let me just tell you, it's never comfortable. It's never comfortable to call the pastor up and go, hey, listen, pastor, I need to come in and talk to you, but like we feel like we're supposed to go, like God's calling us to do something else. And this is a part of exit interviews for the people that have allowed me to have the opportunity. I always ask these questions. Has someone here wounded you? Has someone here wounded you? Have we taught heresy or apostasy? And let me clarify the difference. Heresy is when we teach something that isn't interpreted accurately in the Bible. Apostasy is when we deny the name of Christ. Have we taught heresy or accuracy or apostasy here? And then ultimately, like if there's something that's going on in this organization that you have concerns about immorality, or if you've been wounded, or if there's abuse, if there's something taking place, tell us about it so we can get this organization fixed. Have a exit interview. And I have to tell you, we've had people, and I'm just going to go ahead and preach because I told you last week, I'm getting some stuff off my shoulders. But this is good stuff. We've had people that have come to this church. We've helped them, counseled with them, helped them financially, helped their marriage stay together. And then honestly, like they just evaporate and go away. And then we find out they're at another church, or we find out that they move. We honestly, I'll just say, we recently helped somebody, a family went through some horrific stuff and they moved and never even called us. And we spent hours and hours and hours counseling with them and they just moved. Like, you know, a phone call would have been good. Like, we're texting them and, you know, exit interview. Man, that's okay. I'm just getting through some stuff up here today. That's okay. Number seven, are you ready? Review the commitments that you've made. Let me just say, your word is a commitment. If you've committed to do something on your job, if you've committed to do something in the community, I belong to my HOA and I'm vice president of my HOA. And honestly, usually about October, November, because they do the elections in April, about October, November of every year, I'm like, I'm going to quit, you know? But I put my name in and I made a commitment. And believe it or not, when I put my name in and made that commitment, it's the name of Christ in the community. I'll go ahead and preach for a few minutes. If you made a commitment here at Christ Church, I made a commitment. I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve as a teacher. I'm going to serve in cafe. I'm going to serve as an usher or greeter. I'm going to serve in a connection group. I'm going to serve. And honestly, before you quit, review the commitments that you've made so you just don't drop the bag. And the people that are counting on you, they no longer have somebody to count on. Review your commitments. Good preaching, Pastor Paul. Number eight, are you ready? Train your replacement. This, honestly, guys, this stuff works in church and it works outside of church. Train your replacement. Train the people. Replace yourself before you go. Replace yourself and allow the Lord to impart out of you into somebody else's life what would take place. So your job doesn't get hurt. And there are a lot of people, again, I'm back to the motive. There are a lot of people that when they leave, they're like, I hope they realize what they're leaving, what they're losing. That's not the spirit we're supposed to walk in, okay? Train your replacement. Number nine, are you ready? Whew, aren't you glad I'm down to number nine? Leave in the timing of the Lord. Leave in the timing of the Lord. Abraham left as the Lord told him. Abraham left as the Lord showed him. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions here today because we're talking about going. And let me just say this to you. Going isn't the same as leaving. Listen to it again. Going isn't the same as leaving. Most of the time when we start this kind of a conversation, most people, there's going to be two or three people that are going to come up to me after church this week and say, I was thinking about leaving, and now after Sunday's message, deal with the confirmation, I'm supposed to leave. No, I'm not talking about leaving. I'm talking about going. Okay? going from one place to the next. Quite possibly, it's not about leaving the location where you are. Quite possibly, it's about going and talking to somebody. Maybe it's going and talking to somebody and offering forgiveness or asking for forgiveness. And the new place of blessing in your life has to do with going from the place where you currently are into a new place where God's going to bless you. Maybe it's going and serving. It's a new place of serving. Maybe it's going, not leaving, but going on a missions trip. Maybe it's about going public with my faith and talking to somebody about my faith when it would be easier to be quiet. Maybe it's about going to somebody that I feel like maybe they're caught in a place in their life and they could just use somebody to lift them up. Going isn't the same as leaving. Why don't we go? Honestly, we don't go because we're afraid. We're afraid of ridicule. We're afraid of failure. We're not sure of ourselves. We procrastinate and say, we'll just simply do it later. But Abraham left as the Lord told him. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 8th verse, and I'm going to close here. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he later received his inheritance, obeyed and went, and even though he did not know where he was going. It's a step of faith. It's a challenge. He decided to go just the same. What does God want you to want? What does God want you to want? I've been asking you that every week. What does God want you to want? And here's the number two. Are you ready? Where does God want you to go? Where is that place that he's leading you? Where is that place in your heart that he's leading you? Will you consider saying yes to him today? In a few moments, we're going to pray over Pastor Philip and Leanne, and we're going to bless them. They have prayed about it, talked about it. They've sought counsel and they feel like the Lord's calling them not just to go, but to leave. Not just to leave, but to go. That this is someplace they're supposed to go and be involved in life and ministry with family and friends and churches elsewhere. And the reality is we love them. We're going to pray over them in a few moments, but I want to pray over you today. And I'm going to ask you to say, Lord, where do you want me to go? Maybe it's spiritually in your walk. Maybe it's something that you're supposed to do. Maybe it's a new place of service. Maybe it's that you're supposed to be going on one of the trips this summer. Whatever it is, will you just say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, dear Lord, for every person that's here. I ask you, dear Lord, that as we humbly pause and say, Lord, whatever you want, we'll do. Speak to us and lead us. And Lord, we won't go until you speak. We're waiting on you. And so, Lord, I ask you that you'll touch each and every one of us. And Lord, I know that there's a place of blessing. There's a land of blessing that you have for every person here. And I'm asking you that we'll not be afraid, that we'll not be intimidated, that we won't walk in insecurity, but instead we'll walk in light, led by your Holy Spirit to whatever you want, whatever you have for us in that place of blessing in the name of Jesus.